This is Jim Colby from Vox Urbana, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
The Waveform app is now in the App Store for users to download. It's only available on iPhones and iPads. An Android version of the app will be developed as soon as funding allows. The Waveform app allows users to listen to live audio from any of the Waveform web streams, including WGXC 90.7 FM, Standing Wave Radio, which was formerly known as Waveform Radio, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zakpop's Pond Station, and other partner streams. Users may also create custom playlists from the thousands of archived audio files. Waveform transmit partners and WGXC broadcast partners may now also stream their own audio feeds from their iPhones and iPads using the app. Again, you can go into the App Store and search for Waveform Radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Good morning. It's Kevin Factor here and foraging ahead. And today, if all goes well, we are going to have all about West Virginia. And it doesn't look like things are going well. So I may just hit... some old playlists. I think we're going to do that. Here we go. Seems like I'm having some difficulties with the audio today. Bear with me. Not sure what the problem is. Oh boy. Hang on there one sec. Thank you. Ah, here it is. So many plugs. So many plugs. Okay. Here we go. So when we think of West Virginia, we conjure up images of maybe coal miners, conjure up images of maybe barefoot hillbillies,
I mean every word of it. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn! Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi. Can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn! This is a show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail, black cat cross my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine, we all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there, I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. Keep on saying, go slow. But that's just the trouble. Washing the windows. Just plain rotten. You're too damn lazy. You're thinking it's crazy. Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. Just try to do your very best. Stand up, be counted with all the rest. 'Cause everybody.
thought I was kidding, you know. Picket lines, school boycotts, they try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. Yes, you lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady, and you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Oh, but this whole country is full of lies. You all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust you anymore. You keep on saying go slow. Go slow. Well, that's just the trouble. Desegregation, mass participation, unification. Do things gradually, but bring more tragedy. Why don't you see it? Why don't you feel it? I don't know, I don't know. You don't have to live next to me, just give me my equality. Everybody knows about Mississippi. Everybody knows about Alabama. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn.
All righty. So, we're getting on now to the proper show. It's West Virginia. I'm going to introduce you to Hazel Atkins, who you're listening to now. And then we're going to talk to Ava Wurstel. Enjoy some hillbilly music.
I'm going to put your head, I put it on my wall. Baby, don't you be afraid, cause you don't want to eat and eat none today. I'm gonna put your head on my wall, and then you can't eat no more hot dog. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, baby, don't you be late. I want your head, I want it tonight. Cut your head off a high fast eight. And have it on my wall, but a high fast ten. Yeah, come on, baby, I want that head. Come on, baby, I want that head. I want your head to hang on my wall tonight. Now, honey, don't you be afraid, cause I'm gonna cut your head off about a half past eight. Just like I said, I'm gonna cut your head off. You can eat no more hot dogs.
My guest this afternoon is Ava Wurstel.
Yep.
Okay. And Eva's from...
From West Virginia.
From West Virginia. And you're living in the Hudson Valley how long now?
3.5 years.
Is that right?
That's right.
And you moved here straight from West Virginia?
Yeah, straight from West Virginia.
And where in West Virginia?
I've been living in Morgantown, which is like the infamous big college town, for 4 years. Before that, I've just lived like kind of everywhere in the valley, where Charleston is and where Huntington is, sort of. But yeah, I've pretty much just lived all over the state before I actually moved out.
Uh-huh. And you're from there?
I'm from there. Yep.
And your people are from there?
My people are from there. Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you? Your family go back there?
Actually, I asked my grandmother a few weeks ago. She's really into, like, the Ancestry.com. Mm-hmm. She's old and doesn't have anything else to do. So our family goes back probably, like, 6 or 7 generations.
Really? From in West Virginia?
Yeah, like, before it was actually even West Virginia, like, when it was still, like, Virginia. And, yeah, I guess we're just kind of, like, scattered all over, like, southern Virginia, eastern Kentucky, just, like that whole Appalachian. Mm.
Did your family have a foundation story? Like,
it's... I feel like I've had to pull some strings to try to figure that out. You know, I knew both of my great-grandmothers, and really the only thing I can remember about them is that they were both really, really, really superstitious.
Really?
Yeah. As far as, like, a foundation story, I don't really have one. I think I understand, like, the state's foundation story more than, like, my own family's sometimes, but...
So tell us about the West. For those of you who don't know, West Virginia was a part of Virginia up until the Civil War, and those counties seceded from Virginia when Virginia seceded from the Union.
Yeah, that's right. So it probably, you know, I can't speak for anybody living in, like, 1860, but probably wasn't, like, a moral thing, but once you're that far west in Virginia, that's when you start hitting the mountains, because eastern Virginia is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different landscape and demographic. But once you're, like, in those rugged mountains, you know, transportation becomes complicated, and, like, you know, access to anything becomes complicated. There wasn't any real big money in that part of what was then Virginia. And so, like, being part of the Confederacy, like, it just, there's, like, no reason for that part of the state to do it, because there were some, like, slave owners, but very, very few, because there wasn't any money, and, like, everybody was out there just, like, in these rugged mountains, and, like, no one really had money to do that, so...
Right, so the economics really didn't allow for slavery to be a viable model in the mountains. I mean, similar to Kentucky and Tennessee. I mean,
yeah, that's right. And, you know, there wasn't... West Virginia has, like, more small family farms than anywhere in the country.
Really?
But whenever it comes to, like, monocrop farming or subsistence farming, like, it's just so mountainous that it's really hard to find... you know, more than, like, 150 acres that isn't, like, halfway up a mountain, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So bigger farms in West Virginia, they're there, but it's not like you're driving through Virginia and there's just, like, acres and acres and acres of corn or soy or whatever. So that was just, like, a big difference in farming, too, and that part of what was in Virginia and eastern Virginia.
Like, what does it mean to be from West Virginia? I mean, it's... I'm sure you've had to do a lot of explaining like you're doing now. Like, what is it? Like, West Virginia. Oh, yeah. Like, but what is it? I mean, what does it mean to you guys, or to you personally, to be from West Virginia?
Well, geographically, it's like... unless you're talking to someone who is familiar with Appalachia, which, you know, unless you're from there, you're probably not... geographically, we're not really in the north, we're not really in the south, we're not really in the, like,
you're the southernmost northern state and the northernmost southern state.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're just, like, in Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, not a lot of people understand, like, where that is. Or they, like, ask me if I'm, like, live near Richmond, which isn't even in West Virginia. So, like, just trying to explain where it is.
Right.
Like, half the battle sometimes.
But when you leave, you don't understand where you're from until you leave it?
I guess, like, the biggest differences between, like, you know, being from West Virginia and living here is... I don't think I have that much of an accent, but people still like to correct me on like a lot of words that I say. That's just like, you know, it, like, and it just be, they tell me that I'm like saying them wrong.
Well, like, what words do you say wrong?
Like, I can't pronounce the word, like, people say collar. I say collar.
And, collar?
Yeah, people are like, oh, you mean collar? Collar.
Like the collar blue?
Yeah, but I say collar.
You say, like, collar, like a shirt collar.
Yeah.
Collar. How about hollow?
Holler.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely holler. Actually, like, I didn't know that holler was a word until, like, a few years ago. I thought it was just holler. And that's, like, the case with, like, a few words in my vocabulary. Like, none that I can recall right now. But it just, like, it's just, like, a small example of, like, how people perceive West Virginia, especially like through their accents that we're like slow or like we're doing things wrong or just because our dialect is like different and specific.
To me, I mean, honestly, like you, it doesn't sound like to me anyway, except when you say holler. Is it being in New York for a while? Or
I think so. But when I go home and I'm around like my family and my mom and my grandparents, mm-hmm. it just like, yeah, I can feel it. Come out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't sound like you have an accent. Like when I first was talking with you, I had no idea where you're from. I thought, you know, you could have said
Long Island.
Long Island. I'm from. You do not know Long Island. Mercifully, you're not from Long Island.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Yeah. But I guess like I can understand the accent really well. You know, like. Yeah, I took my partner through West Virginia once, and, you know, even when we would, like, go to a gas station and we would, like, talk to whoever was working there, mm-hmm. he had a hard time understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna tell you what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
I went out last night, and I got hitched up. When I woke up, his body should have seen what I had in the bed with me. He jumped up out of bed. Pull his hand down his eye. Looked at me like a guy in Canada commodity meat. He said, So this time we're way off yet. We got all alone. Thing was going just right. She jumped out of the car. She put her hand down her eye. She looked at me like a nine box film dollar out cheap. She said,
listening to Hazel Adkins. This was recorded in his shack. He played all the instruments and he just recorded it himself. He taught himself everything. And this to me, after talking with Eva, is boy, it's West Virginia. It's just hard scrabble, do it yourself, get it done. And it's got energy and soul and sincerity. Woo!
What are some other myths or fantasies that people had about West Virginia that you had to sort of disabuse them of?
I guess it's just like no one. People think that West Virginia is all agricultural.
I would think that they would think it's all mining. I mean, that seems.
That too. I mean, the mining industry is like. There used to be like a lot of manual labor, but it's mostly mechanized now, and so the mining industry doesn't exist like in the way that it used to. You know, like most people would be like from mining families, and that is like a totally like dwindling existence. Now it's all like mountaintop removal mining and like strip mining. My grandfather worked at a chemical plant. There are lots of chemical plants in West Virginia. It's like, it's just, for whatever reason, it's just like been this really vulnerable state for the past, you know, 150 years. And
vulnerable, like how? Like, what do you mean?
Vulnerable to resource extraction. Or resource extraction, or just like, you know, like people with like dirty hands and dirty money coming in and just like dropping this big chemical plant, and all the people who live there just have to like deal with it, because like there's not a lot of money in the state to like lobby against things that come in, and it's just like these things bring in jobs,
right?
And people need to like feed their families, so like, yeah, it's really, it's hard to, like, live in West Virginia and be, like, super liberal about everything, because if you're going to be extreme in that direction, then you're going to be, like, betraying, like, at least 10 people that you know who, like, make a living through working on, like, resource extraction or at a chemical plant.
And how do you cope with that? Or how do you approach that, I should say?
I just, you know, I'm not going to work in that industry. I feel like I used to be like pretty anti, pretty radical when I was younger. The older I get, the more like moderate I feel like I'm getting about the whole thing. Just because, like, you know, I've been lucky enough to have access to like other ideas and other ways to like live, and I've been able to travel and like get out of West Virginia. A lot of people there just like, they just like get stuck there, or like they need a job to like pay their rent, and so they just get sucked into these like really available jobs and industries that are like inherently evil. But it's like, how evil is it if it's like supporting you financially? It's also just like economically, it's just, you know, a pretty like grim situation. The coal mining jobs are gone, the poverty rate is just like insane. So people need jobs, and that's just like really what it comes down to most of the time.
How did you, I don't want to say get out or escape, but How did you come out West Virginia, or how did you come to your politics, I should say? Was it living in a college town, or your family, or someone thinks something you read, or just you've just always been like this?
Well, I guess like where did it all start, I guess is what I'm trying to think. I guess both of my parents are like, I wouldn't call them like liberals, or like they can't even grasp the concept of like conservative or liberal. That doesn't like really exist to most people down there. But they were like, there's like a really big kind of like junky artist community in Charleston, which I grew up around, and so basically just like from a young age I was just like a lot of times just like living on a whim with people who were my parents, but like were also just like kind of kids themselves.
Right.
And so I got, I don't really know what I got a taste of, but it was something like a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just, I got myself through college.
Mm. Where?
And at West Virginia University. And I landed this job at this little, like, food co-op, which was, you know, it's not like the co-op that you see in Albany, like, the Honest Waiter. Probably not like any co-op that you've ever seen. It's just like this little...
In West Virginia?
Yeah, in Morgantown. Mm-hmm. I was just lucky enough to walk in one day and they needed help, and so I started working there when I was 18. But I, there were some farmers there that ran CSAs or like, you know, tried to grow asparagus and like would sell 3 bunches of asparagus to us. And yeah, and so I made a few connections with these local farmers, and you know, retail sucks. We all know that retail sucks. I didn't want to do it anymore, and so I started farming with this guy named Sky Harmon, who had like a little startup. And so yeah, that's where it all started. And you know, like farming in West Virginia, it's not like farming in the Hudson Valley where jobs here are so available and you can like actually make a living doing it here. In West Virginia, it's like I like worked 50 hours a week and made like $8, and there wasn't really like an option of like moving up, because you're either working for a family or you're working for like someone who's just starting and like doesn't have the means to pay you.
Mm.
So
well, I mean, it almost sounds like it's been ever thus in West Virginia, like you're never gonna make any money like farming in the mountains.
Right.
So you don't come from a farming family.
That's right. I don't come from a mining family.
Or an academic family, or
definitely not an academic family.
No.
Sorry guys. But you know, my mom was like, she has like a green thumb, and she's like an amazing, all the like older women I know in West Virginia are just like by necessity herbalists and botanists. It's kind of amazing. But like that's just like part of the tradition. But no like true academic stuff going on. But
so were you the first person in your family to go to college, or?
My mom went to college.
Okay.
And my grandfather went to college, and like, you know, my cousins, did they? I have a cousin that went to college.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, you know, there wasn't like any real like fire under my ass to go to college. You know, that wasn't like, that's not just like a family value. I mean, it was, everybody was like happy.
Right.
It was going, but it wasn't like, oh, you have to go to college. You have to live this life. I had a lot of freedom to just like make my own choices.
Mm-hmm. Now,
from a very early age. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, was that a function of just sort of West Virginia or you junkie artist?
Oh, I think that was just like my situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, because I was thinking that's like, I mean, that can be wonderful and dangerous at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, had to like, I, you know, I'm lucky. I learned enough through watching to like avoid a lot of potentially crappy situations. Because like, you know, I've lost like a lot of friends to. There's a huge opioid crisis in Appalachia. I'm sure, like, you know, that's like the coverage that Appalachia gets, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opioid crisis. But yeah, I guess I've seen like a lot of friends and peers and acquaintances just go down the tubes.
Really?
With that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just. Yeah.
But do you remember when you first became aware of that, and or how it started to affect you? Was it in high school or earlier, later?
I guess, like very, very, very young. I, like, okay, you know, as, like, a kid seeing all of that happen, you're like, okay, something is, like, wrong with this, but I don't know why. Like, I don't have the, like, vocabulary to tell or describe it to people or, like, even describe it to myself. But, yeah, I guess just, like, as maybe, like, a preteen.
Like, where would you notice it? How would you notice it? Like how did it register in your consciousness in a personal way?
Prescription pills are just being passed around like candy. You know, even with, like, people my age, like 12 and 13. Super accessible, you know, like, you would see people just, like, in Charleston, like, nodding off. I used to hang out, I was a mall rat, I would take the bus to the mall, mm-hmm. and hang out there. And there was just, like, this like, big, like, drug trafficking block in Charleston where the mall was.
Oh.
It's, like, it was pretty raunchy. So, I mean, you know, I could look at a situation and know what was going on, because I had that, I don't know, keen sensibility for, mm-hmm. What those things looked like.
The image that I have now is, like, there's this mall with a bunch of, like, completely stoned 12 and 13-year-olds on, like, prescription drugs.
Yeah, or, you know, not always 12 and 13-year-olds. There's always just, like, also just, like, a huge homeless population in Charleston. And, like, also, it's just the people who are most likely to get addicted to prescription pills are people that live in rural areas, which is most of West Virginia.
Hmm.
You know, there's, like, yeah, so.
And why do you think that is?
Hopelessness, boredom, dealing with, like, inevitable emotional or physical pain. People who live there probably work, like, really manual, intensive jobs.
Mm-hmm.
People's backs hurt. All of it's accessible. And, like, even if, like, you don't have a prescription that you can take to a pharmacist, like, someone can probably sell it to you.
Because
that's, like, how a lot of people make their money, too. It's just selling prescription pills, so. Virginia pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, via music and There's like a lot of celebration about the fact that we like seceded from Virginia.
But you're still giving it to Virginia.
What?
You guys still like giving it to Virginia?
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. and like other than that, there's just like it's just like such a such a rugged state, and I think it that kind of bleeds over into people's personalities.
Like in what way? Like
anybody you meet from West Virginia is like pretty rugged. Like friendly as hell, but also just like pretty gritty people. Like just hardworking, kind of used to just being like down and out, and like this is what you have to do to survive. Like just like a lot of survivors. You know, obviously there's like money circulating a little bit in the state, but it's very, 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 very concentrated to like a few people. It's also just like. It's like a really haunted state. There's like a lot of folklore in West Virginia and like everywhere. But
what are some of the stories or the lore, the folklore that would be common?
The most infamous one is the Mothman, which I am personally obsessed with.
Okay, let's hear. What's the story of the Mothman?
Yeah. Well, I think. It just plays into more so than a lot of other places in the states. I think that a lot of people in West Virginia rely on like omens in their environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling you, like both my grandmothers are like very superstitious.
Like, give me an example of a superstition.
My grandmother. Ella Scruggs, what's her name?
Ella Scruggs,
yep.
Wonderful.
she thought that the like holiday of Halloween was just like a huge like conspiracy, and it wasn't actually children at all. This is more of like a dementia superstition, but like
I think probably many superstitions began in sort of either like individual or collective dementia. Yeah. But yeah. Go on. Yeah.
But she thought actually it was like a bunch of like midgets dressed up that were just like pillaging the town, and like with like absolutely no proof of that ever happening, but that was just like what she thought and what she was going to think the rest of her life. And you know, I just like learned all of the like don't walk under the ladder from her, don't spill the salt on the table, black cats are bad, like all of the like really typical like superstitions. Mm-hmm. But like it was very serious for her. Mm-hmm. Like, a very serious matter. Yeah, and I just remember like walking into her like a weird little like mothball house. And she would always have like dried herbs burning that I can't really remember like what they were to this day. And she would I don't know if she ever smoked tobacco, but I know that she would smoke mullein leaf mixed with like who knows what. But
mullein leaf?
Mullein.
Yeah. Oh, you have to explain that a little bit. Or would you please?
Mullein is just like an herb that grows up here. It's like a lung cleanser.
A lung cleanser?
Yeah. Like a lot of people put it in smoke blends, tobacco, to kind of like compensate for what the tobacco is doing.
Huh.
So, yeah, but maybe that crosses over into more of like the herbalism sphere, which is, you know. So, Mothman.
Mothman.
Yeah.
Is this is this an old story or is this a?
This is a story that late 60s or 50s.
Okay.
So there's like this like abandoned nuclear plant in this town called Point Pleasant, and it got shut. Like the facilities got shut down. And it's just, like, basically this big concrete slab that is still standing. But there was talk about, like, this giant moth, that, like, moth slash human body thing with big red eyes, just like hanging around, like a few different sightings that were mutually exclusive. And then, like, right before Christmas, there was this really big bridge that collapsed and killed, like, 50 people that were on the bridge. And people, like, reported Mothman, like, flying over the bridge whenever it collapsed. You know, like, whether or not this is true, I think it's still just, like, people are looking for just, like, reasons or omens. And I think that's, like, a way that people in Appalachia or any rural regions, like, make sense of their realities. But, yeah, there's this whole eco-touristy thing that revolves around Mothman now. There's, like, a museum and, like, bumper stickers and shit, which I have.
Mothman.
Yeah. Huh. But that's probably, like, the biggest, the, like, most popular West Virginia lore. There are just, like, collections of, like, books of hauntings. And there's, like, a railroad tunnel in Mingo County that is, a lot of people have reported, like, seeing people, like, walk back and forth in the tunnels because there was an accident there in, like, the early 1900s. So, yeah, tunnel hauntings. And, you know, the mountains themselves are, like, just kind of, like, very beautiful, but also very, like, foreboding in a way.
My argument with, like, the legitimacy of the Mothman being, like, a physical, like, in this realm a thing is, like, why would a hillbilly, like, make it up? Like, why would they out themselves as a crazy person in, like, a really small community? Like, you know what I mean? So
you feel like the jury is still out on Mothman?
I mean, I believe in Mothman, but...
You believe in Mothman?
Yeah, but then again, sometimes I'm like, what is crossing over? And, you know, that's a whole other interview.
Yeah, no, that sounds interesting. Yeah. So let's talk about the spirituality or the religiosity of West Virginia. Did you grow up in a church or any of that sort of... any of that sort of thing, which is the vast majority of humanity does do. But
my parents are more or less agnostic. My grandparents are fundamentalist Christians, which I like love them and they love me, but it's just like still, you know, we don't like breach that. Yeah, we don't go there.
You don't have theological discussions.
No. Sometimes, yeah, I just remember it as, like, a young woman, like, being, like, more outspoken than I think I should have been. And my grandma would sometimes tell me that I was, like, brainwashed. Yeah, but, yeah, they're fundamentalist Christians.
And what does that mean to, like, how does that... Like, I like, literally do not know... any fundamentalist Christians?
They think that the Bible is not a metaphor, basically. They think that, like, everything that is written is, like viably true.
Vivid to my coattail loose.
Look here, honey.
Oh, Baba, don't let me go well, you see. Vivid, no, Baba, don't let me go well, you see. I don't love you anymore.
I love you.
Get away from my coat there, honey.
Look here, honey.
Honey, I gotta go.
That's
love. Honey, I don't love you.
Yeah, you do.
Tell my coat there, look.
I never can love you.
I gotta go.
Yeah, you do.
Baby, baby, no, but I don't let me go. Where do you see?
Please tell my coat to leave. He knows I love you, baby.
Honey, please let
So you didn't grow up in a fundamentalist household, but your parents did.
My mom did. Mm. My dad did not. My other set of grandparents, not went to church, not particularly religious, though. Mm. It's more of like a community, mm-hmm. like obligation. You know, like a lot of people who go to church. The state itself, I wouldn't say that it's in the Bible Belt, or, like, technically I don't think it's in the Bible Belt, but there's a lot of, I think, Baptists, mm-hmm. a lot of Christians, some, like, really random, like, Hare Krishna temples, maybe two, but other than that, I mean, there's still, like snake charming churches.
Oh, fun.
West Virginia, yeah.
Have you been to those?
I haven't, but that's, like, on my bucket list.
To go to a snake charming church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just, like, another thing that's kind of just, like, stuck in time in the mountains, snake charming churches.
Right, so, and that's when people get sort of the Holy Spirit and handle poisonous snakes.
Yeah, just, like, relying on the Holy Spirit.
To protect them from,
yeah,
rather than their common sense to not handle poisonous snakes at all.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that I had that much faith in something. Sometimes.
So tell me what you're planning on going back. So you're doing farming, and farming is your thing.
Yeah, that's
right. You're committed to farming.
Yeah.
You like it.
Yes. No, I don't like it. I love it.
You love it.
I love it, and I hate it.
All right. So it sounds like a relationship.
Right. I guess I don't have any, like, neutral feelings about farming. It's, like, pretty, I mean. It's
what do you love about it?
I'm outside all day. I'm just, like, at the whim of something else. Nature. That thing would be nature. I basically had this, like, creative block for about 6 years, but then I realized that I'm using all of it in my work. So that's got my, like, creativity outlet covered. I like busting my ass for some reason.
Because you're from West Virginia. The state of trauma.
The state of trauma, that's right. The state of busting ass. And then I get to grow food for people, which is awesome and, like, such a necessity in the state that is just, like, a huge food desert.
New York.
West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia is a food desert.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, we're not in a food desert in the Hudson Valley, but, you know.
Right.
Places in New York do have food deserts. It's not. Yeah.
So you like busting your ass and growing food.
Yeah.
And fitting into the world that way.
Yeah. I don't really have a niche for it here because there's enough of it here. The state doesn't need another CSA, or this area doesn't need another CSA. It just doesn't. I'd rather go somewhere and provide to people who need it. And also just, like, in a place where I'm, like, more familiar. Also, it's cheaper.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. So what's the most difficult thing about then leaving West Virginia, coming here? Is it the you found that the people don't get you on a fundamental level? Are New Yorkers like lazy compared to West Virginians?
No, I mean I mean sometimes I find myself comparing like New York and West Virginia, and sometimes it's just a matter of like I miss the place where I'm from, and that's just like so much of my memory is in this place that I'm not feeling like I'm getting that much footing here, and so I just want to go back to this other place that, and I think
where you belong,
kind of
West Virginia.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people have that feeling that's like really specific to West Virginia, where they're like, this place is like cesspool, I want to get out of here, and then they do, and then there's just like a really, really strong like magnetic kind of like something that makes people miss it a lot. I think it has an effect on people, like more so than a lot of places. Yeah.
So Long Island has sort of the opposite effect.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that speaks to something special about West Virginia.
It is special. Special, but I even though we've been talking for like an hour, I can't tell you how it's special. Other than what I've told you, and you can kind of like create that idea yourself based on like your experiences with whatever. But it's sacred.
Yeah.
Area of the world.
Do you think it'd be difficult now to return, now that you've been out to the wide open Hudson Valley?
Why?
You do realize the Hudson Valley is not, you know, what people think of when you think of New York.
Right. Oh, yeah. I know that. Yeah. I mean, this state, it's also just hard for me to wrap my head around this whole state to begin with. It's so big. It's going to be a battle. You know, I'm going to have to, like, I don't have any money to fall back on, like, at all.
Uh-huh.
The state is just underfunded. Land is cheap there. Starting anything there is hard because no one wants to start anything there because, like, it's probably not going to take off because nobody can afford to buy there. Why is someone going to put money into a CSA if they can't, like, afford necessities to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like, I worked on a farm before I left that has, from like what I understand, maybe it's been a few years and it's different, but at that time they had just like pretty much cornered the CSA market and they had like almost 400 members. And so I'm just like,
whoa.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, starting from other than like the relationships I already have, I'll just be like super reliant on and just like knowing the like the lay of the land. I know that, but as far as growing a startup business there, I'm just like, how is that actually going to work? Even though like this.
Well, have you learned a lot here and how to do that?
Yeah. I think that whether or not I didn't know like exactly what I was doing when I moved up here. But now I can say,
it's like a lot of people, especially kids who go to Bard.
I know. I mean, yeah. I mean, just like moved up here on a limb, just like I guess a lot of people. So I like shopped around, applied for this random farm as like a, you know, a manager. Got the thing. Moved up here.
Yeah. And probably like. Just like being from West Virginia was a bonus for manual farm labor up here.
Yeah. Well, I wonder. I just like sometime, I don't know. I just never really know if people even know that that's a state or that's where I'm going to have to start from, like total square zero. Like,
so that's it for Foraging Ahead. My apologies for the rough beginning, but I'd like to thank Eva Wurstel